One second. Yeah, let's get to the matter at hand. Just let me say by introduction, first of all, in terms of schedule, today we'll have the shiur here. We'll try tomorrow for Monday and Tuesday to have the shiur live. So let's make 1:30, because again, I'm not supposed to go beyond the hour. So let's try for 1:30 tomorrow. Is that okay? And 1:30 on Tuesday. And then we'll again, we're not able to do these topics fully comprehensively, but we'll do the best that we can going forward with it. Avram, we have, is Avram around? Yeah.
Yeah.
What we also have to, we have till Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday's the last day.
Okay. So we'll try at least to get into the Brachos so we get a little bit so we can start, and then we'll continue with that after we pick up.
And then Junesman, the plan is for Junesman is twice a week, right?
Yeah, twice a week. But hopefully by then we'll have a little, well, I'm assuming by then I can give longer for the twice a week. So we'll, you know, that'll work out, hopefully. Okay. Everybody is very much reeling from the events of, the last couple of days in Eretz Yisrael. And I know it's very difficult to focus and to concentrate. There's a lot of, a sense of pain and identification with those who are, really reeling and suffering from terrible, almost senseless kind of tragedy. Shior ella divrei Torah zos, but obviously the right thing to do. Doesn't solve the problem, but the constructive thing to do is for us to immerse ourselves more into learning, and especially tefillah, and daven for refuah shleima for those who are still suffering, and to try to give comfort and nechama, to those who had just a terrible, tragic loss. In your Tehillim, if you could also include, we had a granddaughter, who, with some complications, was born prematurely, just doesn't have a name yet, but you can also include that in your Tefillos and Tehillim. We'd appreciate that as well. But, we should all go out of our way and try to, when we encounter people who, I know they're the family, Wayu family who suffered this terrible loss, Talmud in MTA, and then Shalavim, who I don't know personally, but I heard is really a wonderful young man in every way. And just again, it's just an unfathomable kind of a thing. And so to the extent that we can do chesed and constructive things, that's all that we can do at the moment, but that's a lot. So that's what we should focus on. Okay. We talked about Davar Gaon and Mamon Kavod, but I don't want to lose the time for the shiur. That's the exact most destructive thing that we can do at the moment. We talked about Davar Gaon and Mamon Kavod and different aspects of it. There's so much more, obviously, to talk about. But I do want to hit at least some of the topics that we fell behind in. So I'm going to leave Davar Gaon for now. And, Od Chazon L'Moed, there's so much more to say. But at least in terms of the unique contribution of our sugya, both in terms of applying to Bailus or Rishus and Chametz, as well as, testing whether Davar Gaon applies more to Be'en or more to Navad, and whether in that gufa, whether that gufa is the maskan of our Gemara, whether there are different levels of Davar Gaon, whether the different levels of Gaon are broken down in terms of Kachim Shechai Bachru Yusan, as opposed to cases of Pikadon. In theory, in light of what we said, that also may depend on different levels, even of Pikadon, right? Maybe between the Chalik, between the achrayas of onsim, typically associated with the shoel, as opposed to other, you know, chiyuvim. Again, the more you look at, even in terms of the critical moment of Shmira, which is a massive topic, it's at the heart of Dinei Shomrim. Are the Tashlumin of Shomrim connected, you know, to, you know, the Shas HaTakala or the Shas HaHafkada? Is it a Chiyuv HaShava, Choser Shmira, impersonal achrayus, you know, like an insurance company, or, you know, kind of achrayus of like it had, you didn't do anything, it's not your responsibility, but it happened to you. You're kind of the bailin vis-a-vis the loss. That whole massive fundamental question about Dinei Shmira becomes extremely relevant to whether Dover HaGoreim, you know, only applies when the chafetz is be'en or only at the moment of the, you know, beginning at the moment of the takala. But of course, the relationship between the nifkad and the mafkid and the extent to which, you know, the nifkad is any kind of bailin, as long as the mafkid, you know, be'en is what we're talking about, that too, of course, is dependent upon this issue. So there's so much more to talk about, obviously. But, and then of course, you know, Kachim Shkai Bachar Yusan, the idea of Achrayas, which is unrelated, where there is no competition of a mafkin, one of the things I was particularly emphasizing. But then again, this other interesting dialectic of, you know, Kachim Shkai Bachar Yusan in particular, being connected with Achovas Neder. And the idea that as a Chovas Neder, as I say, there are, like, you know, you could look at it in two opposite ways. One is it's more minutak, it's more separated from, distinct from the focus on the Chetza, because either way, you could say it's not really so much replacement, you know, as it is. You know, you haven't yet, and now you need to discharge your neder obligation. Or is it the opposite? If there is some status of chetzah shel kodshim, you know, on the basis of the neder, so maybe that's the way. It also highlights, you know, that as I said, that's what I was trying to say towards the end on Thursday, it highlights that that's the way that, you know, we express our bailus on Hekdesh too, vis-a-vis the obligation, you know, to discharge this obligation and to bring it, you know, to the Beit HaMikdash, and there, you know, to see it through. So in a way, it could be more minutak, or it becomes just a different methodology of developing a kesher and a relationship to an object in the world of kachim, which is not plagued by the competition, you know, with mafkid, or even, let's say, the chalos of be'en versus nevat. That's kind of what I was suggesting towards the end. I didn't get a chance to look at it, but I think Natan maybe mentioned to me that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in his Kovet Shiur Mimsachim also discusses this issue and this question of Chovas Neder, albeit it sounded like he was saying maybe in a slightly different way. Right, Natan?
Yeah, but he also has this idea that you have bailus vis-a-vis the chova to bring in.
And that gives you bailus, not that it's an am. And it gives you bailus even on the chayfet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said that's a very tricky, you know, kind of an idea, but one which, you know, which is very important, you know, for this whole topic and other topics too. So we'll leave it at that. And basically, I just want to make one other, or I think I did make the arm, I'm just going to repeat it one more time. And that is the whole question of there being levels in Dover HaGoreim, you know, beyond saying simply that, you know, sometimes the expression is a melitza. The idea that, you know, there are, you know, it's adjustable given the intensity, whether it's different levels of Shmira, or it's the distinction between the Achrayus of Shmir and the Achrayus of Achrayus, or just the, you know, unusual special status of Achrayus and Kadshim due to the various, that whole idea that all these things can still be called Dabar Gorim, even if they're not, you know, identical in every way, is very reasonable. That doesn't mean it's a Melitza. It just means that the, you know, the principle and the common denominator, you know, is something that applies, you know, even, you know, if it isn't one rigid, you know, application. So that, of course, is something to consider. And then the idea that, you know, in a parallel way, you have this question, you know, there are some Bekoros that imply Garmi, you know, Dovra Gorim, Hezek Shein and Nikar are connected. Certainly in Havaminas, you know, certain Gemaras and Rishonim, no question. Maybe in the Maskana. So, of course, the Pashtus, that implies that they're the same, that they have one Mechayet and one fate and one application. Default, you know, whether it's within Dovra Gorim or across the spectrum, Dovra Gorim, Garmi, you know, Hezek Shein and Nikar, of course, our default is to assume and to expect, to anticipate that you'll get an identity, you know, of Mechayev and of application. It's when we encounter a mixed evidence and we're forced to conclude, you know, that things are more complex, namely that there is a relationship between these different things, maybe man da amrim or more likely, you know, to say X if they also believe in Y, etc. That's when we're forced to reassess. That's not a bad thing. You know, that just forces us to conclude in some cases that the issues are a little bit more complicated than we thought. So even the idea, like in the broadest sense of, like I said the other day, that this I'm just repeating, you know, that let's say there's, you know, there are multiple factors, you know, or contingent factors, contributory factors. Does that automatically negate either, you know, financial responsibility or, you know, halachic, moral culpability in other ways? You know, is there a rule that, you know, unless you are the exclusive, you know, responsible party, or whether it's in Maisa Hezek or Shein Bailim or Chepta Shalm Hezek. That's like a broader question. And, you know, to the extent that you take a wider, you know, view and say that, you know, certain levels of contingency or confluence or causality can be factored in, that you look at some of these things not as a, let's say, isolated and very restricted maisa or chepta, but kind of as a process in which you're the dominant, or in which you like integrate and factor in, you know, some of the other factors, even though they come from other places, they're kind of the background. They become part of the reality. So then you can have a situation where we're not equating these categories. We're still acknowledging that one is about the maisa, and one is about the result, and one is about, you know, bailos or the categories of chefza, kachim, akum, whereas the others, you know, is about chefza shalmet. We can still have those chilukim, and we can still understand, you know, the overlap. Okay, so that's really what I wanted to leave you with. And of course, there's so much more that's fascinating and also very telling. So, Od Chazon LeMoed. So now let's talk about Arnuna. So the topic, let's just get somebody to read for a minute. Second. Yeah, let's have somebody read. Ezra Wilds. Just let's just talk about this. Yeah, we don't have so much time.
From the beginning of the Gemara?
Just, yeah, the Arnuna Gemara, on Bava
Manala.
Yeah. Where we left off, in Baimine.
Yeah, so Baimine Mirava, Behemas Arnuna, Chayavisa Bechora, Alin Chayavisa Bechora. So, Kolecha de Matsu Misalakle, Bezuze, Lokami Bailan, the Chayav, Kikame Bailan, Hecha de Lomatsu Misalakle, Bezuze, Samai, Amalay Ptura.
Oh, so one second. Before we go, so what is Behemas Arnuna? That's like the, or what are the possibilities?
Yeah, so Rashi says that it's this mas from the Melech. Mas to the Melech. And Rabbeinu Chananel mentions that it's a shutfus to an akri.
Wait, so Rabbeinu Chananel says it's shutfus.
Yeah. Rashi says it's a mas to the Melech.
Okay.
I think the Gilyon Ashas quotes that, like in Darim, the Ran there says also that it's this, like the king had a suuda that, and also to take that the king would take from people.
Yeah, who holds that way in terms of the Rishonim? Most prominent? Are you aware?
Did Meiri mention that? I'm not sure.
Okay, Rajba, right?
Okay, I didn't see that.
I'm Rishonim saying too, but. Did I give you the Rashba to look at?
I didn't see the Rashba.
Oh, in Piskei Chala, he has it. Well, we'll look at it very quickly today so we can get it behind us. And also in, very important to read the Tshuva, Chelek Aleph Simen Shin Mem. Did I give that originally in the Maram Kavos? I thought I did. No?
I didn't see that.
Oh, okay. If I didn't, we don't get to it today. Make sure to see it for tomorrow. Okay, so what do you think of these different options? Let's just, kind of think aloud for a moment and then we'll pin it down, of course. But what's your view on these? How are they interchangeable, fundamentally different? I'll take each one and say.
I mean, well,
with Rashi.
Yeah, if we say that it's, I'm not sure exactly, but if we say that it's a mask from the king, so then it's something where, I guess it's like either you own it or the king owns it. In the sense that the king has a certain, he can take it, assuming that you're lomatzi matziv misalakle bezuze. But if it's shufus, then it's...
Let's say that. The miser has two elements, two components. Number one, it's the right to take it, right? But it's still a little different than that's what distinguishes, let's say, the miser from the shutfus. If it does, if there's a distinction, I mean, in theory, you could say that miser is a form of shutfus because he's going to get, let's say, 10. Let's assume miser means 10, doesn't make a difference. 20%, 5% doesn't make a difference. Well, maybe it does, but let's assume for the moment that the number is irrelevant. So it's like a tax, right? So when the government taxes your income, are they like the shutuf with you? How do you look at it? Like, they're very interesting shilas, actually, like. A lot of posts can talk about, Meiser Ksafet, like how to calculate it. Is income tax, considered, it belongs to the government. So it lowers your, you're not really making $1,000. You're only making, $780. Because the government's going to take 220. Is that how it works? I don't know if we have Tzai Sims people here or not. That's an interesting question. So for purposes of Maiser Ksafin, right, do you give on 1,000 or do you give on 780? A kakira about income taxes. And is there a difference between income tax and sale tax? Sounds like there are. I mean, they are different. Right? So when you're taxed, I think two elements to think about. One is it's a percentage. So, you know, to what extent is that kind of a shutaf? Like, so you say, oh, you're a shutaf on the percentage. You're a 10% partner, a 20% partner, you know, not a 50% partner. Who says that shutaf is only 50%? Right? So that's one issue. The other issue is that just how do we look at, you know, the seizing of a portion, you know, based on a tax or a gift, whatever it is. But the other thing is, of course, not the amount and how you look at it, but, you know, it's a right. Does it always happen? Right? Even if it doesn't happen, does that mean that there's no shutfus, or is that a chisaron? And the other direction, let's say it's going to happen, always happens. Could be that each time it's considered, you know, some sort of initiative, you know, and it's just, you know, each time a kind of a disruption. I guess it depends how, you know, how you look at the tax. And it's a little bit connected to what we just talked about. In other words, again, I don't want to get caught up with my shutafim, but in other words, do you look at this as, you know, something that really isn't part of your income? As to, because it's, you know, goes off. So in that case, is it even shutafim? You know, you could make the case that a tax is less than shutafim or more than shutafim. More than shutafim in one sense, maybe it's like totally separate. And less than shutafim because it's a, you know, a kind of percentage and it seems like something more like extraneous. And also, you know, if it doesn't happen and there's no collection, then no collection. So that becomes a very interesting question. If we're talking about taxing. The matzi misalik, the lo matzi misalik, then what would you say, Ezra, about that factor? When we're starting with taxes, or...
And the fact, if we're saying that the fact that you can be matzi misalik like the zuze, so then that means that it's almost as if the king has no part in this. And it's behemoth, let's say.
Right. In other words, matzah misalik mezuzah, once we're thinking about the nature of this tax to begin with, they end up being not so much a practical consideration, but a conceptual one. Right? In other words, he's really a shutaf, and who really cares about matzah misalik mezuzah? Right, that's just, you know, really he owns a part and you can buy him off. But if he's not really a partner, just that you have to buy him off, then Matzah Misalik Mezuzah says, you know, he has nothing to do with the ben. The haraya, he can always be bought off. Right? So there are two ways to look at matzi misalik and lo matzi misalik in general. One is in a more pragmatic way, like lemaisa. You know, what is the prospect, you know, of him actually, you know, taking over this or taking his physical part of percentage? Right? That's one way to look at it. But it certainly makes sense, especially if you're dealing with something which is a gray area to begin with, maybe a tax, you know, a potential percentage, et cetera. If you want to know how intrinsic that is or how extrinsic it is, then matzah misalik becomes very important. For example, we find matzah misalik in other contexts too. Anybody where? Like, where else do you find matzah basalik as a factor? Ellie? Find it? Where? Just a...
I don't know.
Okay. That's a good answer. In what sugyas? Matan. Another a parallel kind of issue.
Bava Kama.
Regarding what?
There's a whole case about a field. About selling the shlach of a field.
Okay.
In the Gazlan.
So what kind of thing is that?
In terms of when we have the Gazlan where we have to pay extra because of the...
It's a similar kind of a problem, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to weigh... Right. Shibudin, right? When we discuss the problem of the status of Shibudin, what is Shibud? You talk, right? What do you mean by Shibudin?
When you have a malva who or a lova who sells a field, and the initial and anybody else, if he sells that field, somebody else, the initial malva would be allowed to collect from the.
Right, so we have the right, it's a lien or a mortgage, right? You know, the right for collection. So that, of course, is a, it's ripe for this problem, right? How do you look at the right of collection of a lien, mortgage? Now, the property, it's again, one of these kind of in-between situations, right? The property belonged originally to the moker, who was the lova, let's say. Now belongs to a lokeach. He's the owner, right? But it's subject to gviya. So the Gemara in a bunch of places discusses, first of all, the Gemara later on, yeah, I hear him talking, right? And Daflam et Aleph, Abayin Rava, right? Whether or not Balchov, Mikan Labo go there or Mafreya go there. Very interesting question. A similar kind of a question. But you could look at it technically in either direction. But what's appealing, just to save a little time, is the idea that the argument of Mikan Labo and the Mafreya is really a fundamental argument about the nature of Shibudim. Namely, if it's Lamafreya, right, that fits in better with the idea that the Malva has a kind of a real kind of kinyan, right, in this property, always has. Again, it's complicated. There's a real owner, but he's always had kind of a right, an aspect of violence. Now, really, you know, two, you know, ways to look at Shibudim, and also might be machalik between types of Shibudim. Potiki Mefurash, Shibud, you know, based on Shibud Daraisa, Shibud based on Milva Bishtar, if they're different even Daraisa, which they may be. Discuss this in the past. We'll for sure discuss it next year. Those who will be here, of Lasra. So, if you say to Mafreya, who go that, what you're saying is that this right of collection isn't just what the Gemara calls it in the end of Balbasra. You know, Nixi de Barinish, Inu Nachroin Barvoin Zelazah, like an Ari, like a kind of down the road. You know, Arev. You know, there's a contingency that you'll have a right of, you know, collection, but until it happens, you don't anticipate it. When it happens, you don't retroject it, Mafreya, right? You just look at it as, you know, as everybody owns what they own. And then there are rights that, you know, occasionally, you know, assert themselves. when they assert themselves and to the extent that they assert themselves, you know, that's the story, but doesn't go beyond that. If you say Mikanul Haba, you know, then that's consistent with that. The Mafreya, unless it's just a timing thing, Gloimilso Mafreya, saying more. But in the Sugya of Shibudim, you find the factor of Matzim Misalek and Omatim Misalek. Why? Because that's exactly the question, right? It's exactly like parallel to here. There are two ways to look at it. You could say, oh, you know, it's a technicality. But much more appealing is that if it's Matzim Misalek Le Mezuze, you know, then that implies that it's more like kind of an arvus, you know, it's an extraneous right. You have no other choice. This is what you're going to do. But he can buy you off because he's the real owner. You don't really have rights to the property. You have a right to get your, you know, your debt neutralized. That's all. So, of course, Matzim Misalek Le Mezuze. But if it's Lo Matzim Misalek Le Mezuze, then what we're saying is, at least under these conditions, that you're a bailin. It's yours. He can't, you know, push you off. So Matzim Misalek, Lo Matzim Misalek, conceivably, so what, again, what's the application here? Again, the melech is gonna take taxes from you. Is going to take a percentage of her property. And the question is how to look at it. Right? So again, one way is to say, you know, that this is a lamaisa question. We want to know, does he have a chelik in the bechora, or in the case of Isa, you know, in the challah? And if you can buy him off, even if otherwise, even if lamaisa, you can buy him off, maybe that's important. And if you can't buy him off, maybe that's also important in the other direction. So I'm not dismissing, not here and not on the other side, this possibility that Matzir Lamatim Misalek has a pragmatic role to play. That's one possibility. I much prefer, I will admit, that maybe it's something more fundamental in both cases. And that is that Matzir Misalek always shows, you know, that in the Gufa Davar, you don't have anything, right? The Gufa Davar is just a mechanism, right, to neutralize the financial obligation that is extraneous, but that, you know, as a separate, you know, ischaivus or whatever, or lamaisa, that's the way the government set it up. But therefore, Matzim Misalek, even if you don't choose to implement it, like let's say it's Matzim Misalek, you can have the factor of Matzim Misalek and choose to give the person, you know, his chelek. But even then, the Matzim Misalek shows that at least until now, you're the absolute bailam and you owe money. Whereas Lo Matzim Misalek may very well mean that, you know, he is a bailam. He is a shutta, and therefore he has rights. You can't force him out of those rights. Okay, so just to, according to Rashi, this sugya is a fascinating sugya. It's a sugya about what happens when a person, when a government, when a non-Jew has a percentage claim in your property, right? To what extent does that make him a player, right, vis-a-vis dinim like bechor and challah? And then, Matzim Misalek, Lo Matzim Misalek, you know, either is a pragmatic din, or preferably it highlights, is it kind of a shutaf, or a certain kind of shutaf, or not? Okay, so that's one fact. Keep going in the Gemara. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's go through the read the Shakvatari first, and we'll talk about the other two possibilities. Go ahead.
Yes, let me see the Ikadamri.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ikadamri. From Ikadamri? Or?
Well, yeah, Ikadamri, yeah. I'm a rabbi.
Right. So Isa Sanuna Khaivas Lakala Afagab the Lomatsu Masalakla. My time of Ahima is Lakala, Isa Las Lakala.
So here the Gemara introduces the fact the sugya of Isa, right? Kala. And the Gemara is contending with the fact that there seems to be a discrepancy. But it's different yourselves, and we'll get to that. What's the discrepancy? It seems like Isa Sarnuna is Chayavas Bechala, right? Afagav the Lomatsi Mesalikle, right? And Behema Sarnuna is Petura Mida Bechora, Afagav the Matsi Mesalikle. And the Gemara says that all depends on Isle Kala and Leisle Kala. What is Isle Kala, Leisle Kala? What is that? What kind of factor is that?
I guess the pshat is that it's whether people know that the king takes from these things.
Whether the correct.
Or,
that's a simple pshat, for sure. And the Gemara is distinguishing between the Bechor and Isa. So it sounds like Isle Kala is a Dindur Rabbanan. And that it is simply a pragmatic fact. Now it's really, 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 let's say Isa would be Petura, right? Minakala. But then people will say, oh, how come this guy is not getting Kala? Because Isle Kala, right? That the way it goes? Ezra? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure I'm not putting words in your mouth. Okay. So the simple reading of our Gemara, if you interpret like Rashi, they say it's a very interesting sugya about, you know, a non-Jew's right to a percentage and matzi b'salik lo matzi b'salik, how that affects it. The sugya seems to say Bechor and Chala are identical. And even though Lamaisa, they're not, right? That's based on Kol. Okay? We'll see in a moment that isn't so posh. Isn't so simple. Is there any other way to read Kol? Nathan, what do you think?
It could also be reflective, the fact that of Isle Kala and Leisle Kala could be reflective of the reality of their bylaws.
What do you mean the reality?
Meaning if it really, the fact that it appears to be totally in their Rishos or it's functionally in their Rishos right now might actually show something about their bylaws.
Or to the extent to which we care about how it looks, that might be a factor in Bechor and Kala, in distinguishing Bechor and Kala. Could be. Okay, good. So that's if we interpret the Gemara as referring to a percentage. Okay. Ezra, what were the other two possibilities? Shutfas, leave for the moment. And Seuda Samelach. Who holds Shutfas?
Sorry, you mentioned the Rashba and Rabbi Nuchanano. No.
I think I said Suda Samelach is the Rajba, right?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. And others following for sure. And who holds Shutfas or Rabbeinu Chananel? Do you have the line of Rabbeinu Chananel? Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, it just says Behema Sanuna appears Behema Shishma Shutfas and Achri Turman of Korah.
Yeah. Okay. So if it's Shutfas, so the whole Matzah Misalik Lo Matzah Misalik, you know, it could still be understood the same way, frankly. Although with the real Shutfas, it sounds like Matzah Misalik Lo Matzah Misalik would be more, let's say it this way. if we're talking about a percentage and a kind of a mass, then saying that Matim Salik defines the nature of the shutfus itself, we'll call it, or you know, whether it is a kind of shutfus or whether it's an extraneous obligation, you know, based on, you know, the numbers, but it isn't really inherent at all. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Right. In the same way, as I said, that in the sugyas of shibudim and, you know, other, you know, these kind of quasi, you know, things where we're not really sure what they are, not because we don't have imagination, but because they're complex instruments and halacha recognizes them as such. So matzi masalik, glomati masalik, you know, whether it's a potiki or shibudim or other such things. But if you're talking about shutfas, right? So then matzi masalik, glomati masalik, you know, is not so much a reflection as a shutfas, as maybe it is a gorei. In other words, to what extent is the shutfas of a non-Jew a factor, like consequential, right, enough, you know, to have halachic impact? Because there is a shutfas, right? You know, they're partners in the animal. Each one owns 50% of the animal, or whatever it is. There's an agreement that, you know, generated a shutfas. Question more is, what impact should shutfas have on the din? Not what is the nature of the shutfas. Whereas if we're talking about a mas, we could say what we were saying before, which is that matzah mitzalik is koveya, how we assess, you know, that is that really shutfas, the gufa davar, or not. Here it's more, there is a shutfas, it is the gufa davar. Question is, if you can buy somebody out, so then maybe, you know, it's not a shutfas, which is consequential to the Peturim, right? Everybody with me? So that's a little bit of a difference in terms of the role of Matzah Mitzalik. The problem with Rabbeinu Hananel, then, also, though, is that it runs into too much explicit evidence, counter evidence, as the case may be. And, you know, therefore, it may push you to make other distinctions. For example, when it comes to Bechor, Ezra, since you're cornerbacking us, when it comes to Bechor, if you want to say, so when it comes to Bechor or Issa, you could take whichever one you want. The question is, how is this if Behemah Sanuna is about shutfas, not about a mas, then what about other evidence? Is there other evidence about shutfas in Bechor or in Chala?
I think Yerushalmi's quoted that distinguishes between the two.
That's for sure true. But even before you get to that, let's take one at a time. No, you're correct about the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is on a Mishnah, right? So before we get to the Yerushalmi, we need to get to the Mishnah. Yeah. Okay, what's the evidence in Bechor? And what's the evidence in Chala?
I think that's conflicting yourselves, but it's Tosefta by both that says that the Chayat.
Well, let's say a Bechor. What's the din of Shutfas in a Bechor? Any idea?
Oh, so we say that whenever there's Yad Nachri of Emta, so be Pater. Yeah.
Correct. In other words, the Mishnah and beginning of Bechoros, that's why I say that's the problem with Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel did on the one end is great because, you know, it connects us to other sugyas and shas. On the other hand, if they don't conform, then we may have a problem. So what is the what does the first mission tell us in Bechoros? Halakeach Ubar, you have it?
Sorry, Yitzi? I'm just trying to pull it up.
That's okay. Yitzi, you have it? Yitzi Kopsik?
Yeah. Halakeach Ubar Chamuro Shalavich Hoviko Chavim, Vamokhurlo, Avapish in a Rashai, Amokhur Avapish in a Rashai, Hamishtate Flo, that's what we're talking about, Kabbalah Himenu, Vanosin Lobe Kabbalah, Paterina Bechora, Shinamor Be Israel, Avalo Bachirim.
Avalo, yeah, Bachir. So what does Mishnah say, Yitzi?
That if you're mishtati with an ovik l'chavim, the animal is pater from b'chora, because the pasuk says kadosh l'kol b'chor Yisrael and not b'achirim, no one else.
Yeah, so it seems pretty clear that so our gemara is mistopic about behemoth sarnuna, about misalik, lomot misalik. So are you going to say that? I mean, Pasha says that's the view of the Tanakhama and the Mishnah. When it comes to Bechor, right, Shutvas is Potter. Unless you say, that what? Is there a Cholek? Yitzi?
In the Gemara?
Yeah, or in the later Mishnah, but you mentioned in the Gemara.
Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda, right?
Excellent. Correct.
Yeah.
Rabbi Huda's Cholek, bottom of the base of the base. Right?
Yeah.
Kachamim Omrim. I'm sorry, before we get to Rabbi Huda Omer, HaMakabel, Behema Min HaAkum. Right? We all know. Ma'alun Osa B'Shavio. Doesn't Chatzin Damav, Kohen. Yosef B'Kabbalah, Abishin Roshai, Kontzun Adatar B'Namav, Chachamim Omrim, Kozman Shiad Akum Be'emtza, Ptura Min HaBechora. Which is where you got the expression that you used before, right? Then you have the Gemara that says on Gimel Amud Aleph, what's the Makar? I mean, the Mishnah already said for the Chachamim that it's Yisrael of Alo Bachirim, right? That seems to be, I mean, everybody agrees that a Bechor that belongs completely to a non-Jew is Potter of Bechora. So you need more than that. So that's the Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph that says what? Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Shnei Mikra Echad Dora, she had that? Dorshu? Kol Bechor, Rabbanim Sarmi Bechor, Miktsas Bechor, Mashma, therefore, Kasav Rachmana Kol Ad Ika Kule. And Rabbi Yehuda Savar Bechor Kule, Bechor Mashma, therefore, Kasav Rachmana Kol, Afilu Kol, right? Afilu Kol Dehu, rather. And so on. Ruba. So basically, the question is whether or not it's true that Yad over Kochavim Be'emtza is Peturim and Abachor or not. That's Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. But according to Rabbeinu Chananel, the problem is that, you know, what, there's a discussion in our Gemara about Shutfas in Bechor? And the Gemara says, Mat Misalik, Lom Mat Misalik. Unless that's the difference, Mat Misalik, Lom Mat Misalik. But Pashtus in Bechoros, it sounds like, you know, there's Chachamim, there's Rabbi Yehuda. And they argue. So that's a problem with Rabbeinu Chananel, right? Which is why some of the Mefarshim dismiss Rabbeinu Chananel. What about on the Chala side? Ezra? You have the Mishnah in Chala. Again, we're not going to spend so much time on this journey today and tomorrow a little bit. What's the Mishnah in Chala? Paragimel Mishnah Hay. We have it, Ezra?
Sorry, I'm just trying to pull it up. I think my internet's slow.
Oh, I'm getting such interference in my audio here. Jonathan, you have it? Jonathan Crane?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Ovi Kavim Shinatan Yisrael Asolo Isa.
What is that?
So, maybe that's just his, so your pater, because it's his. Natalo Matana. So, Achalo Gilgal. Chayev, so if it's like totally not made at all, then you chayev in it because it wasn't really done yet. When she goes, ah, pater, ha'osa isa ima ovikam, which is our case now, im in b'shel yishra, k'shir chala, p'tir min chala. So the Mishnah is focusing on the shear being a limiting factor as opposed to whether or not you can give money or not for the object.
Yeah, so the first, the ratio of the Mishnah, it's got three sections of the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah establishes something interesting. Namely, the Nachri, Isas Nachri is Pater. Correct? And then the final case in the Mishnah establishes the Osa Isa Ima Nachri. It depends if there's a Shir Chala or not. Correct? So, actually, the Ezra, you mentioned the Yerushalmi, right? The Rash quotes the Yerushalmi on the first one. What do you mean, Nachri Shenasam Yisrael Kemach Lasos Lo Isa Pturim Minachala Dishal Nachriu Elish Yisrael Megalgel Yerushalmi Parich Ma Beinah Lo Isa Sarnuna. Right. Gil Isa Sarnuna. Why is Isa Sarnuna Chayavis Bechala? That's apparently what the Yerushalmi holds. Even though, so what is the Yerushalmi assuming? Hard to know. I mean, I'll tell you what the Rajma is going to say. Rajma takes this Yerushalmi literally. And says that according to the Yerushalmi, we're dealing with Isa Sarnuna means Sudas HaMelech. So Sudas HaMelech means that it's Lagamri, potentially Lagamri, Shal Nachri. So the Yerushalmi is asking, I'll show you that in a minute. Yerushalmi is asking, like, how do you reconcile this? Right? Here the Mishnah says, Isas Nachri is Pater, and Isas Sarnuna is apparently Chai. Right? What's the answer? Mishami, Taman Bishus Yisrael, Shani Malech Anachri, Shimim Lach Anachri, Shelo Litla, Ramacha, the Daito Hitluya. Mikan Muchach, you have it there? I shouldn't read so much. The Gosin Parakam of the Psachim, Isa Sarnuna Chayavis Bechala. Af Bagav, saying the low Matsi Mesalik Le Bezuzik. The Rov Svarim Garsinan, Isa Sarnuna Ptura Minachala, the low Matsi Mesalik Le. The Sham Dikdak Nubadabar. Don't look at the Rash, maybe. But, meaning, so what's going on, Ezra? Just sum up for me. That's who Shalmi referring to, right? Ezra?
Yes, the Yerushalmi saying, I think that right, Isa Sarnuna is Chayev Chala, as opposed to the
even process. Even when Matzi, even when Lo Matzi Mesalik, even when Lo Matzi Mesalik. So, but the Yerushalmi, that the answer that the Yerushalmi is giving is a practical one or not? Hard to know how to. The Pashto is a practical answer, which is it's in the Rishus Yisrael, and you don't. I don't know why I'm getting this feedback. If anybody's good at the technology part and figure it out, let me know. I keep hearing psh in my ear. Reason for that? Okay. the tech people should get back to me. But the so the Rishami saying, it sounds like a Lamaisa point, which is, it's Bishus Yisrael, Shemi Malach Anachri, Shelo Litla. But here, the Nachri initiated, he gave the Kemach to the... Okay, so then you actually have a really interesting Yerushalmi, which says that, you know, there are cases of Isa Sanachri, which are Chayim Bechala, as long as it's not definitive, as long as it's Brishus Yisrael, it's not definitive, then he'll come for it. In the sugya, I'm more interested in the, I guess, the bigger picture. So, meaning this Yerushalmi, the Pashtos would seem to be expanding the Chi of Chala, even when there's, let's call it a Yad Akum, the Emsa, if you want to call it that. There's more than a Yad Akum, the Emsa here, one would think. Okay, then what about the Seifa? The Seifa says that it depends on the Shear. Right, Ezra? How does that fit in with the Gemara in Chulin? You have that in the Rash? Go ahead. Isa, Osa Isa Imanachri, Bishutfas, right? V'chi Patrina, the Gemara seems to say in Chulin, if you look at the Gemara there, Gufa Medayim and Beis, that Shutfas Nachri is Pater Menachala. And here the Mishnah says it depends on if it's a shear of Yisrael. So the Beis Yosef in Yerideya quotes in the name of the Sefer HaTruma, I think, that, oh, this is a terrible stira. It must be that the Mishnah is not a case of Shutfas. What do you mean it's not a case of Shutfas? This is Shalo Kipshuto of the Mishnah, but that's because he thinks it's a serious problem. Namely, Ha'osa Isa Imanachri, which depends on Shior, Yisrael Bechala, says the Sefer HaTruma is not Shutfas. They're just, you know, pooling their resources. They're using the same machinery. Okay, but they're not Shutfim. If they had been Shutfim, and in Ochanami, even if you had Kishior, Chala, the Yisrael, maybe Potter. That's what the Gemara means in Chulin, that Shutfas is Potter. So, what emerges from the Sefer HaTruma is that Shutfas is Mufka in every way. Okay, the Gemara in Chulin is dominant. We reread the Mishnah and Chala in light of it. And we end up with a very clear statement that shutfas be'isa is pater, even when there's a shiur, this sounds like it's in daraisa, even when there's a shiur of chala for Yisrael. So if you have chiyuv Yisrael side by side with p'tur akum, it's poter, we could say. However, the pashtus of the mission, it's not true. So what do you do with the Gemara Chulin? So some Rishonim say it's a machlokas this Tana in the Mishnah against those Makoros in Chulin. It's a machlokas, just like there's a machlokas when it comes to Bakar Behema between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about Shutfas, right? So too, there is a machlokas in Chala. However, that's not the position of the Rash. What does the Rash say? That's right. You see it? He asked a question. Vichi patrinon, the Reisa Sages. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think I'm having some internet issue. It's not coming up.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
You're not with me.
No, I don't know why.
Okay, I'm having
a browser's not working.
Audio issues, but okay. Let's go back to Yitzi.
I don't have the
Rash.
Oh,
how about Seth? Seth, you have it?
Yeah, it's it was put on by Binyamin onto the document.
Okay. Thank you, Binyamin.
On the sheer display, even from home.
Hmm. Okay. Good work. Binyamin, maybe you can figure out why I'm having audio feedback. Or you're just a substance person, like, you know, token. Got it. That's a good thing to be. I still need to know. Okay. Seth, you got it?
Yes. Ha'oza Isa ibn Kri, Bishutvus, V'chi Patrinan Bereches Agaz, Shutvus Nechri Minachala, V'she'in B'chalko She'Yisrael Kishir, U'bishalmi Amrinan, Rav Bon Ben Chia, Bayi Kumi Rav Ziri, Rafil Yesh B'she'Yisrael Kishir.
Whoa. Okay, I got a big attack. Does anybody else hear that or just me? Hello? Seth, are you talking and I'm not hearing you?
I was not talking. It got very loud. I shouldn't try to say it.
What?
Quieter.
Hold on. I'm gonna
was it too loud?
Yeah, no. It's not you. It's something with the, I don't know why these, all of a sudden they start. I'm just going to switch to, this is supposed to help me because I'm not. Hold on 1 second. I'm just going to, just give me 1 second. I'm just going to switch to the system. Hold on 1 second. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Ha'osa Isa im Nechri, B'shutfus, V'chi Patrina Bereches Hagaz, Shutfus Nechri Menachala, V'she'in B'chalko She'Yisrael Kishir, U'bi Yerushalmi Amrinan, Rav Bon Barachia, Bayi Kumi Rav Ziri, V'afil Yesh B'she'Yisrael Kishir, Yase Kav Mechan, V'kav Mechan, V'kav Nechri B'emtza.
What's the main point of the Rash? That the Sugya in Chulin is talking about a situation where
there isn't a shear.
But that, of course, flips everything on its head. How so? So let's say the following. The Sefer Truma flipped everything on its head by saying it's not really true that if you have Shutfus Goy, if it's really Shutfus, is Ma'akev. Even in Issa, correct? Yeah? And the Rash, other Rishonim say this as well, in order to salvage everything, in a way says the opposite. He says, if you have Shior, Chiyav Chala, then you're going to be Chayav Chala, even if you have Shutfus Shogai. Right? Meaning, let's say, there's no din of Yad, Akum, the Emtza and Chala. But it's even more than that. Because what's he really saying? That the Sugya and Chulin needs to tell you that Shutfus Akum is Pater when the Shear comes from the Akum. I mean, you might have thought that as long as the Yisrael is a partner, that he would be Chayiv, even if what puts him over the top Shear wise is Chelek Shel Nachri. That's very strange, right? Yeah. So you have, in a way, of just trying to show opposite perspectives on Chala. Let me take a step back, and with this we'll conclude for today. We'll pick up with this, what did I say, tomorrow, 1:30 live, all things being equal, if it changes, I'll let you know, but it should be live tomorrow. We'll take a step back. Where did you look at the sugya, at the Mishnah and Chala, at the Mishnah and Bechoros, and maybe even a little bit in the Shaka Vataria in our Gemara? Of course, it could all just be because of Kala, but as Natan pointed out, maybe it's more than Kala. What impression do you get, Ellie Hyman, about the relationship between Bechor and Chala? Because in our Gemara, what impression do you get? And when you step back and you look at the Mishnayos, what impression do you get?
Right, so in our Gemara, at least according to the simple reading, we get the impression that they're the same?
Correct. Absolutely correct. And in the Mishnayos?
So in the Mishnayos, it seems to be a bit more complicated, although from the Mishnayos themselves, they also seem to be similar, I think.
Well, it's very explicit that Shutfus Goy, according to Tanakama anyway, in Bechor is Potter. Right? And that's how we paskin. But in Chala, the Pashtus is that if you have Kishior of Shal Yisrael, that you're Chayit.
But maybe is it possible, though, to say that it's just a technical distinction? Because by Bechor, it's like all you have is a single animal which you're looking at, whereas by Chala,
we'll discuss. We'll pick up with that tomorrow. That's based on the Gemara Beitza, like parallel, like Beitza Chaval, if some Rishonim say that. But the bigger point I'm trying to make is that on the surface, there seems to be huge machlokas about Chala. And, you know, two extremes in Chala, which we'll try to pin down a little more. And in other words, the Truma, Sefer Truma, the Avamin apparently in Chulin. And not only is there not a din of Yad Hakum the Emsa, but even if you need the Goy's contribution for the Shir Chala, you know, you need to tell me that that's Potter. As opposed to, I'm sorry, that's the Rash, right? As opposed to, say, Pratruma, where, you know, he's rereading the Mishnah, that even if there is a Shir Chala, Shal Yisrael, there's a Ptur. Okay. So in Chala, this seems to be a grand debate. In Bechor, the Pashtus is that we pass in Yad Hakum Be'emsa. Does Yad Hakum Be'emsa mean just Shir Tzvus, or does it have even a stronger connotation than that? Like any kind of shemet, any kind of even call or, you know, whiff of bio. This is a purest Yisrael category. That would be an interesting extreme. Just to put it in terms that we're familiar with, like when we were talking about, you know, challah, right? A couple of weeks back, we were talking about, you know, the relationship between the Petur Akum and the Petur Hekdesh. And of course, we're talking about that in Bayurah too. One being the absence of chiyuv, like you don't have the conditions of chiyuv, and the other being a poter. And I mentioned the Yerushalmi about, you know, two shows chiyuv and chala. And maybe that's the difference between, you know, nachri, krimas tanur, in other words, nachri and hektish. So in a way, we have a similar question regarding the role of nachri in chala vis-a-vis bechor. And we're wondering whether it's possible to say, based on the language and also the dinim, that in Bechor, Yad Akum Be'emtza is poter, it's mafkia. And then how far do you push that, of course? And why is that? Whereas in Chala, you know, you can't get contributions shear-wise from the Nachri, but he's not poter, he's just not chayiv. And that would be an interesting conclusion. Or no, they're the same. Let's finish with this tomorrow. Look at the Rajba. Again, the Piskei Chala, if you get a chance, just to be familiar with the book, and the Ramban also in you know, Piskei Chala. That's how they read the, I'm sorry, the Piskei Chala. In the Rajba, Piskei Chala, the Ramban, you know, was Bechoros. But the main makar is the other things I need to look at, including the Chuvas Rajba. That's very important. Chelek Aleph, I think it should be. Okay, and we'll try to finish with this tomorrow and then move on to a couple of just quick aros on the question of Shloshim Yom and traveling, etc., and then try to move to Sugya Dav Zayin.